Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be discussing the accusation against Elon Musk, the formation of a new Tesla legal team, news on Tesla in Indonesia, updates on Giga Berlin and Shanghai, and a couple other items as well. Well, not too surprising given the reports that have come out, but a tough Friday in the markets. Tesla down 6.4%, closing at $663.90. The Nasdaq finished down 0.3% after being down over 2% earlier in the day, but still a significant underperformance from Tesla to close out the week. All right, as much as I try to keep Tesla Daily family friendly, we do have to dive into some adult topics today, unfortunately. As I'm sure everybody is aware by now, last night, Business Insider published an article claiming that in 2018, SpaceX paid a flight attendant $250,000 to settle a sexual misconduct claim against Elon Musk. As far as the source here, they say that the information was, quote, alleged in a declaration signed by a friend of the attendant and prepared in support of her claim. The details in the story are drawn from the declaration as well as other documents, including email correspondence and other records shared with Insider by the friend, end quote. According to the article, the flight attendant was encouraged to get licensed as a masseuse so that she could give Elon massages, and according to the friend, during one such massage, Elon propositioned her. She accused Elon of exposing himself to her, rubbing her leg without consent, and offering to buy her a horse in exchange for an erotic massage, according to interviews and documents obtained by Insider. According to the friend, the flight attendant declined. The friend says that the flight attendant told her that the work with SpaceX began to decline after this alleged incident in 2016. In 2018, the flight attendant hired a California employment lawyer. The complaint was apparently resolved in a meeting with Elon and a mediator. And Business Insider says that in November of 2018, SpaceX, Musk, and the flight attendant entered into a severance agreement granting the attendant a $250,000 payment in exchange for a promise not to sue over the claims. They also say that after they contacted Elon for a comment, he emailed to ask for more time to respond and said that, quote, there's a lot more to the story, end quote, and that, quote, if I were inclined to engage in sexual harassment, this is unlikely to be the first time in my entire 30-year career that it comes to light, end quote. And Elon called the story a politically motivated hit piece. So that is the information in the article. Elon has further reacted to this on Twitter today, saying that, quote, for the record, those wild accusations are utterly untrue, end quote. Elon does seem to know who this person is, though. He said also on Twitter that, quote, moreover, the friend in question who gave the interview to Business Insider is a far-left activist slash actress in LA with a major political axe to grind, end quote. There have been some that have suggested that Elon has been using his political tweets as sort of a distraction of this article and trying to get ahead of it, spin it, because obviously Elon did know that this article was coming out ahead of time. He made comments before the article was published, and on Twitter, one of the contributors to the article said that they had contacted the principals, in this case Elon, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday the 18th. So it was only a few hours after that when Elon started tweeting things like political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in the coming months. And a few hours after that, he tweeted that he does intend to vote Republican. So if you just examine that information, it kind of looks like all of a sudden Elon is creating a diversion or trying to make this look like a politically motivated hit piece, maybe before there was reason to, but an astute observer would notice that, as Elon pointed out on Twitter today, Elon had already noted on Monday during the All In podcast, so before he would have known about this article, or at least before Business Insider contacted him about the article, he had already announced at that All In summit his intent to vote Republican. So if nothing else, the timing is interesting given that this incident allegedly happened in 2016 and the settlement in 2018, so laid dormant for 4 years and now all of a sudden is popping up. Doesn't seem like a huge stretch to tie some political motivation to that, but ultimately, does that really matter all that much if this incident did happen? I don't think so. And unfortunately, we just don't have any way to know whether or not this report is true. Elon has strongly denied it, but at the same time, it does seem like he knows who the friend is, meaning these conversations, to some extent, seemed like they probably happened. Otherwise, how would Elon know who this friend is in the first place? And there hasn't been an explicit denial that there was some settlement or severance agreement. But it also seems quite clear that we do not have the full story, and without the full story, I think it's a little bit improper to even really be speculating on it. There's so much here that is just hearsay at this point, and Elon has denied the allegations. I wish there were more information, but without more information, I'm not really sure what else there is to discuss. I think the last comment that I would make is that, as always, it's important to consider the source, and Business Insider is not the strongest, most reputable of sources. You have to kind of ask why they're the ones publishing the story. Not someone like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, not that they have the best reputations either, but I mean, relative to Business Insider, it's tough to really get much lower than that. I mean, Business Insider's editor, founder, is literally banned from trading securities. He cannot participate in the securities industry. And the reason for that is because of a settlement agreement with the SEC regarding claims of issuing fraudulent research. That doesn't necessarily mean that the information in this article is false, but I wouldn't call this source a beacon of truth either. All right, moving on, but on a somewhat related note, we've got an update on Tesla Legal today. Elon tweeting out, quote, "Tesla is building a hardcore litigation department where we directly initiate and execute lawsuits. The team will report directly to me. Please send 3 to 5 bullet points describing evidence of exceptional ability. Justice@tesla.com, end quote. Elon says that they are looking for hardcore street fighters, so people that are actually going to be in court, not just making settlement agreements. He says that his commitment is that we will never seek victory in a just case against us, even if we will probably win, and we will never surrender slash settle an unjust case against us, even if we will probably lose. So we know how Elon has felt with his settlement agreement with the SEC. Now we have another alleged possible settlement agreement here that's supposedly from around the same time. Maybe Elon looking back on that and thinking that that was a mistake to settle as well. So obviously this is the harder path, significantly riskier, potentially more costly, though my hunch is that in the long term, this probably nets out ahead. But despite some of those possible downsides, if anyone is surprised by this, you haven't really been listening to what Elon has been saying. So buckle up, there has been and there's going to continue to be legal cases that Tesla is involved in. Heck, we might need to hire a Tesla Daily legal team just to keep up. All right, moving on from the legal stuff, of course, all the other news here not getting much attention today, but there was a report on Tesla and Indonesia, and it's a little bit confusing what's being reported here. But there's a website called Benar News that is reporting that Tesla has agreed to invest in battery and electric vehicle manufacturing in Indonesia, according to the country's investment minister. Now, I would be careful, let's not get too ahead of ourselves on this news. The direct quote that they provide from that minister is that, quote, "God willing, Tesla will enter Indonesia this year, but I can't announce the month yet. Let's wait because we haven't signed an agreement yet. How much investment is still being kept secret, still waiting, but this is good stuff, big stuff," end quote. I'm not sure if there are other quotes out there from this investment minister's update, but since that is the only quote that is provided, it's definitely premature to say that Tesla is setting up a gigafactory. The article does mention vehicle manufacturing, but until we see that directly from a source, I'm not going to take that as a certainty. And even the direct quote that we do have here says that there is not yet a signed agreement. So there definitely seems to be some action here, and that shouldn't be too surprising given the meetings that have happened with Elon Musk and Indonesian officials over the last couple of weeks. But let's just hold on a little bit until we get some more official news. We do also have confirmed news of Elon Musk meeting in Brazil with the Minister of Communications for Brazil. That meeting was today. There was also some news that maybe Elon would be meeting with the Brazilian president, but I'm not sure if that has actually happened. But it does seem like this would be a little bit more SpaceX related because Elon did apparently meet with 13 high-level business executives who apparently primarily work in the telecommunications industry. Now, that doesn't mean that Elon can't double up and talk some Tesla there too, or talk with Vale. It's probably more likely than not, but as of yet, I haven't really seen any reporting tying that to Tesla, but maybe more information still to come. All right, next up, we've got updates on Giga Shanghai and Berlin. So first on Shanghai, Bloomberg is reporting a couple of things here. First, that Tesla apparently plans to keep its employees in a closed loop system until mid-June. But despite that report, they also say that Tesla is trying to start a second shift at the factory as soon as next week. That does match the last report that we had heard, but that was a few days ago, and this is obviously changing quickly. So Bloomberg to report that last night. Looks like perhaps those plans are still largely on track. And if Tesla is still planning to do a closed loop system, that type of setup might be a little bit less reliant on whatever Shanghai as a city intends to do from a lockdown perspective. So we'll have to keep an eye on that into next week. And anything I hear on that, I will pass along. Moving on to the update on Giga Berlin, we've also got news on their second shift. Apparently, according to Tasmanian, Giga Berlin is starting a second shift today. If true, this is definitely earlier than what I would have expected, especially given the reports that Tesla's been having some challenges ramping up production with the first shift. But this would be great news if it is accurate, and we had previously heard that the second shift would start sometime in Q2, and then there'd be some downtime in July. So we'll see on that. I'm still not probably going to project anything huge for Q2 for Berlin. But hopefully sometime in the next few weeks, we'll get some indicator of how the production is going. There should at least be a few signs if the production rate does steeply increase from what it has been. All right, last few items here. We've got an update on the 4680 structural pack and the removal process for that. Turns out it is actually removable. Tesla has published the service manual for the new Model Y, and it details how to remove the structural pack. It's a 137-step process. There's a lot that's tied to the interior that needs to be removed first, but it can be done, and then there's another 170 steps to get it back in. In other quick news, FSD Beta 10.12.1, I think, is now actually rolling out to the public as I'm recording. It is downloading on my car. So very much looking forward to testing that out. I'm not certain exactly when I'll be able to do a video if people are interested in that, but I'm sure there will be plenty of videos going around this evening. All right, the last couple of things then, a quick update on ARK Invest. So if anyone follows ARK's innovation fund, ARKK, Tesla has historically been the number one position in that fund. It's actually now been surpassed in terms of portfolio weight by Roku at about 8.4% of the fund versus about 8.2% for Tesla. So not how I would weight things, but I don't know, maybe that'll lead to some buying of Tesla to get it back to that number one spot. All right, last item for today is an update on Ford in Germany. Kind of an interesting one here. Ford has been banned from selling cars in Germany, at least for the moment, because Ford is apparently not paying licensing fees on cellular chips installed in their vehicles. Apparently, the judge's ruling would also require Ford to recall all vehicles from dealerships and have them destroyed. So kind of a strange issue here. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but Ford can appeal this, which I would imagine they would do. I don't know. This isn't something I know a ton about, but we'll have to see what Ford does here in the next couple of weeks. All right, that is where we'll leave it for today. I know it's been a long, arduous week, but I hope everybody has a great weekend. I appreciate you all listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you next Monday for the May 23rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.